Almost a century before, in 1830, the French philosopher Auguste Comte had argued that, while every theory has to be based on observation, the mind also needs a theory in order to make observations.
Einstein tried to explain that observation was a complex process, involving assumptions about phenomena that are used in theories. The phenomenon under observation produces certain events in our measuring apparatus, said Einstein. As a result, further processes take place in the apparatus, which eventually, and by complicated paths, produce sense impressions and help fix the effects in our consciousness. These effects, Einstein maintained, depend on our theories. And in your theory, he told Heisenberg, you quite obviously assume that the whole mechanism of light transmission, from the vibrating atom to the spectroscope or to the eye, works just as one has always supposed it does, that is, essentially according to Maxwell's law. If that were no longer the case, you could not possibly observe any of the magnitudes you call observable. Einstein continued to press. Your claim that you are introducing none but observable magnitudes is therefore an assumption about a property of the theory that you are trying to formulate. I was completely taken aback by Einstein's attitude, though I found his arguments convincing, Heisenberg later admitted. While Einstein was still a patent clerk, he had studied the work of the Austrian physicist Ernst Mach, for whom the goal of science was not to discern the nature of reality, but to describe experimental data, the facts, as economically as possible. Every scientific concept was to be understood in terms of its operational definition, a specification of how it could be measured. It was while under the influence of this philosophy that Einstein had challenged the established concepts of absolute space and time. But he had long since abandoned Mach's approach because, as he told Heisenberg, it rather neglects the fact that the world really exists, that our sense impressions are based on something objective. As he left the apartment, disappointed at his failure to persuade Einstein, Heisenberg needed to make a decision. In 3 days' time, on 1st of May, he was due in Copenhagen to begin his dual appointment as Bohr's assistant and as a lecturer at the university. However, he had just been offered an ordinary professorship at Leipzig University. Heisenberg knew it was a tremendous honor for one so young, but should he accept? Heisenberg told Einstein of the difficult choice he had to make. Go and work with Bohr, was his advice. The next day, Heisenberg wrote to his parents that he was turning down the Leipzig offer. If I continue to produce good papers, he reassured himself and them, I will always receive another call. Otherwise, I don't deserve it.